The old is gone and the new has come. God makes all things new. And Jeanette spoke last week of how Ken challenged her and that there were issues in her life that needed dealing with. She didn't like what she heard because it was hard truth. And I think in the same way, those seated here today, we have issues that need dealing with. None of us can say we've arrived. And God's in the business of growing us up. He's in the business of raising strong, faithful people, men and women of integrity. Would you agree? Yeah. And you see, a popular trend, as I think David even referenced, or someone referenced, is that we look to outsource work, you know, that it would be easier if that person did that work and that person did this work. But you can't outsource your walk with God. You can't outsource your spirituality. And so God wants us to take responsibility for our spiritual growth. And so even the writer to Hebrews, some say was Paul, and it most likely was, but he spoke about moving from milk to meat. Imagine if I lived on my mom's breast. Well, she's not here anymore, but something would be wrong. I have to move from the milk to the meat, and I have to move from basically being fed to feeding myself. And every mother longs for that day when the child can feed themselves and move on. And even in the scriptural terms, from being a disciple to being a discipler, you know, it's not a moment that you actually, if you've taken a step, you can help somebody else take that step. And that's the whole journey we're on, just taking steps and helping others take those steps. It's what has somebody said? I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. So, from elementary teachings to being a teacher. So that's part of the progression. And so John the Beloved, he had a very similar thing to say in 1 John 2, verse 12 and 13 about being brought to maturity. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Christianity 101. And I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Friends, that's intimacy. That's the whole reason Jesus came, not to bring us to heaven. Otherwise, put a gun to my head and do me a favor and let me go home to heaven. No, he came to bring us into a relationship with a wonderful Heavenly Father and wants us to be more and more like him. And so that journey of intimacy, of into me you see, of being into an intimate relationship. And then I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. This is a key. Friends, without battles, there won't be breakthroughs. And that's going to require knowing the truth, and that truth's going to bring freedom and victory. You see, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power for demolishing strongholds. What are these strongholds? Everything, friends. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Friends, there's a battle. I don't know if you've experienced that battle. I think all of us have in our minds where we know this, that I want to do the good I want to do. I don't end up doing, and that which I don't want to do is right there beside me. Who's going to save me from this body of death? That's Paul in Romans 7. What a wretched man I am. And we battle with that. But it doesn't end there. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Therein lies the hope. Therefore now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. So there's this freedom in Christ, this life in the Spirit that he's promised us. And so the key to spiritual growth and is obviously you've got to start by being born again, born of the Spirit, and then grow up in the Spirit. And so even Psalm 119, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You can't outsource that, friends. Yeah. I'm sorry. You've got to hide it in your heart. I can't hide it in your heart. You've got to take it. And the picture that came in the prayer meeting this morning is that seed comes. And it's not my responsibility of the condition of your heart. Because some of it may fall on well-worn, trodden paths that you've sat in church your whole life. You've got been brought up in, you know, and it's very well-worn and very familiar. And it's like, well, the seed just doesn't take any root because it's going to be, I've heard it. I'm familiar. And familiarity breeds a measure of contempt because it's like, well, I've heard that. And the forgiveness message that we've been majoring on, you might say, but I've heard that. It's Christianity 101. But this thing of forgiving yourself is what I think God wants to highlight, particularly this morning. And so the very first step is like the father waiting and longing for the prodigal. And he comes to his senses. I'll go to my father. I'll go to my father. And what will I say? Father, forgive me. I'll go to my father. And what will I say? Father, forgive me. Where would we be without Father's forgiveness? You see, it's similar to, well, forgiveness is similar to a bank writing off a financial debt. Wouldn't we all love that? Except it's a soul bankruptcy that cannot be paid off without God. And there isn't a single person on the planet that doesn't need forgiveness. You see, God's given us a conscience and an ability to feel guilt. But even that can be seared and we can be dead to that prompting. And so a while ago, I took these pictures and I felt God showing me something from it. You know, sometimes when you see a sign, the sign's there for a reason, but stop. So, stop, let me have a look. And I had a look at the sign, and only when I got to the other side of it and I got another perspective could I see that there was something inherently flawed. There was something wrong. You can see if you look quite carefully near the bottom of the picture, there's a section of rust, and then I zoomed in on it. Man, that sign is in trouble. There's something eating away at it. It's like a cancer that's eating away at that sign. And sometimes our lives can be like that. On the outside, we look all right. From the front, we look all good. But what's eating away at you? What's chewing away and undermining things that eventually something's going to give? Something's going to give. And you see, we can feel like we're doing okay. But we can be slaves to pretense, you know, with fading strength. And then God's taking masks off. That's this whole series. It's just being real, being transparent, being honest. Just saying, look, I need some ministry. I need some help. I need to walk through this or come to freedom in this area. And from the inside out, let your soul cry out. Isn't that one of the songs? And the prophet in Jeremiah's day said to him, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? The ears are closed so that they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. Friends, the world today doesn't really want to listen to God's word. In fact, some of the legislation that's coming in is going to make it more and more difficult to preach the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. Maybe even seen as hate speech. Friends, these are the times we're living in. The word is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. Let's not be like them. Let's listen to what God is saying to us, even if it's uncomfortable. And how many of you have seen these pictures? I think the BBC put them up. It's of a beach in Whitby. Is that on the East Coast? I haven't been there, but isn't it a fantastic beach? I don't know how somebody did that. You know, incredible that they marked out this beach art. What an incredible thing. But friends, it spoke volumes to me because there's a woman carrying a burden, similar to water carriers in Africa, carrying this burden on her back. And so when I look at that, I felt God should remind me of my Bible in a Year daily devotions. And Sandy Miller, who's the vicar, he had God speak a very similar picture to him. He said he saw this beach churned up with feet, just totally just trodden upon and just messed up. And yet when he saw the next morning, the tide had come in and it was totally clear. Totally clear. And friends, that's what I feel God's saying. You might be carrying burdens. You might be carrying stuff, but it's like the spring tide wants to come in and wants to wash that and totally the old be gone, the new come and make everything new. A new canvas. A totally, you know, at the cross when I first saw the light and the burden of sin rolled away. And for those who are more IT tech minded, the computer analogy, it could be the hard drive of your life. It's just so corrupt. There's some corrupt files that need cleaning up, need some defragging, need some scanning. And that's why David says, search me and know me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know, see if there any way. I'm just reading let me read it as it is in the NIV. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know any anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And a very similar verse in Psalm 51, verse 10, David's penitent psalm when he had committed sin with Bathsheba. And it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Friends, you and I, if our lives had a screen of everything that we've ever said or thought or done or acted upon, how would you make you feel? And if everybody here was sitting and they just saw your life flash up screen after screen after screen, there would be probably shame. You know, it's like, you know, the history cache on your phone or the computer or whatever. Not just who we chatted to, but also where we sinned. And you know, there's no incognito, no private browsing. God sees all and knows all. And P.T. Forsyth, he pointed out, first you have to know the despair of guilt. Then you can appreciate the breathless wonder of forgiveness. I love that. First you have to know the despair of guilt before you can know the breathless wonder of forgiveness. And sometimes, as David said, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. You know, we've all got a past, but God doesn't want us to be a prisoner to that past. And just a personal testimony of battling with shame and battling with my past. I'd made a commitment to Christ, given my life to Him, but I hadn't understood grace yet. I was this thing of strength and power and willpower and doing this 120% all or nothing Christianity. It sounds really like, wow, you know, that's great. But that's contrary to the gospel, because if you think of Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It's God's grace, friends. And so I tried in my own strength, and yet I fell short and I felt inadequate. And so I put my trust in more and more in values. Like I thought, okay, these are good Christian godly values. I was brought up in these values. Let me hold on to those values. But even those, I started to compromise. I started to slippery slope. I started to feel that I was falling short. And then ended up crossing boundaries I never thought of. I never thought I would go there. And I always wanted to marry as a virgin. And even then, I lost my virginity and had subsequent to sexual relationships. But out of that, I felt such guilt and shame, because there's enough of the Spirit of God in me to know that I was not living right before God. I was just living in this place of no peace. The worst place to live is like, you can't be a good sinner, you know, because you're straddling the fence. And you just end up realizing there's more. I can't live like this. I was away from God. And just God convicts us of guilt with regards to sin, righteousness, or unrighteousness, where I'm not living right, and judgment to come. And I knew I was away from God. But there was a friend. Do you want to thank God for friends? And this friend challenged me. He said, Russell, he said, do you believe that you will stand before God and give an answer for your life? I said, yes. He says, you're going to give an account? I said, yes. Before God is my judge? Yes. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? And beyond that question, I knew God was pursuing me for relationship. And I was running from that relationship. I was on the far side of the sea. And God was chasing, you know, I don't want to say the hound of heaven, but He was chasing after me, and He loved me. And I just felt the burden of sin. And I wept in surrender as I just let go and let God. I understood His incredible forgiveness. And that debt and that burden lifted off me. The weight lifted off me. It's just His unconditional love and grace that displaced all of that shame and guilt. And but there's the thing, friends. There was aspects of my life that I'd asked God's forgiveness, and I knew He had forgiven me, but I still struggled to forgive myself. It was carrying measures of shame. And so years later, when I started to realize there was a significant other in my life, and Bibi was somebody I wanted to spend my life with, and you build any relationship by clearing the building site. You can't have stuff you trip up over. So I just said, I've got to tell her my past. I've got to tell her, because that's how you build relationships. On basically, trust gets built on sharing. And so I said, this is who I've been, and this is where I've been, and this is what I've done. And she asked me the key question, have you asked God's forgiveness? I said, yes. Well, has God forgiven you? I said, yes. Well, why can't you forgive yourself? Are you bigger than God? I was like, I'm not bigger than God. If God can forgive you, you can forgive you. And our son, he's like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And she said, well, you need to see yourself as God sees you, as a virgin. I said, a what? She says, as a virgin. So I said, she said, you need to speak it out like you believe it. And so I was like, oh, well, that's different. And God has his moments, because here I am driving on a motorway and I see a, do you call it a flyover or off-ramp? And I'm going to take this off-ramp. I think it's a safe place as any, you know, like windows down. I shout out the window, I'm a virgin, at the top of my voice. And whether it was somebody hitchhiking or whether it was somebody who was an angelic angel in disguise, I don't know. But this person spun around. And they gave me a double thumbs up as I was like, God's got a sense of you, not one, but two thumbs ups. It's like, Sonny, I was seeing myself as God saw me, in a new eyes, in a new light. I had to see myself in a new light. God knew it. And so, friends, I just want to say the key to forgiving yourself and even others is knowing how much God has forgiven you. In the light of his forgiveness, how can we not forgive? If God can forgive you, you can forgive you. Because forgiven people forgive. And C.S. Lewis, as I wrap up, pointed out, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Man, that he would forgive me, a sinner. God have mercy on me, a sinner. Total forgiveness. And so, friends, I think, as we land this, there's a psalm I'd love to read this morning, but it's going to be for another time. Psalm 32. What an incredible psalm. It's on the outside. The first verse is on the outside of Psalm 32. That whole psalm is a beautiful psalm about forgiveness. Beautiful psalm. And maybe we'll look at it in the next week. But I want to just say, if you're in that place this morning, that you need these aspects of forgiveness, dealing with our own sin through repentance, the need to forgive others, and then the need to forgive ourselves where we carry guilt and shame. Can we pray? If you're in need of forgiveness this morning, can you, along with me, say these words? Lord Jesus, you extended forgiveness towards me when I did not deserve it. While I was yet in sin, you died for me. I ask you to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Forgive me and cleanse my heart with your blood of all hatred, bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. And fill my heart with your love and grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if there are people that you know that you need to forgive, I want to encourage you to think of them by name. I want to encourage you to, and many of the stories you would have heard from those who've shared these past weeks have been around fathers and other family members. If you can receive mercy, you can extend it. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Even Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they've done. Extend that. Receive that mercy and extend it. Particularly if there's any judgments, anything that you're holding, any records of wrongs, because that cuts off mercy. And so, Lord, thank you. As we've forgiven, we extend forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that that would cover over a multitude. Lord, just let mercy and grace flow like a river, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.